Abdominal aortic aneurysms are usually asymptomatic before rupture. If they do rupture, the consequences are likely deadly. Screening provides a chance to identify, monitor, and treat aortic aneurysms and has the potential to save many lives. But who should be screened for abdominal aortic aneurysms? What does the evidence say? I'm Dr. Diane Kelsall, Interim Editor-in-Chief for CMAJ, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Harminder Singh, Associate Professor of Medicine in the Departments of Internal Medicine and Community Health Sciences at the University of Manitoba. Dr. Singh is a member of the Canadian Task Force on Preventive Healthcare. Dr. Singh and the task force recently published a guideline in CMAJ on screening for abdominal aortic aneurysm. Dr. Singh is joining me from Winnipeg to help explain the recommendations. Hello, Dr. Singh.
Morning. Hello.
Can you remind us what abdominal aortic aneurysms are?
So abdominal aortic aneurysms are essentially a bulge in the wall of the abdominal aorta. And most often, as you mentioned, they are asymptomatic until they cause problems or rupture.
So why do they occur?
They occur because, they are associated with many risk factors, with the smoking, the weakening in the wall of the aorta, which is occurring because of many risk factors, increasing with age, with smoking, the atherosclerotic risk factors. Essentially, it's because of the weakening in the wall of the aorta.
So you've mentioned a few risk factors. You said people who are older, people who smoke. Who is at risk?
The risk increases with increasing age, the risk increasing with people who are either current smokers or were smoked in the past. The risk is much higher, 4 to 6 times or even more among men compared to women. The other risk factors, which are less strong risk factors, are risk factors for atherosclerosis, such as a history of coronary artery disease, hypertension, and increased cholesterol levels.
Now, you've mentioned that these type of aneurysms are usually asymptomatic, meaning people have no symptoms. So how do they usually present then? Most people don't know they have them, but are there some symptoms associated with them?
Symptoms are uncommon. Occasionally a bulge might be noticed or abdominal or back pain may be noticed before they actually rupture, but those are uncommon symptoms. Most often the AAA, as it is called, abdominal aortic aneurysm, will present with a rupture, which is a catastrophic event and has very high mortality associated with it when the rupture occurs.
So now, are these types of aneurysms becoming more common or less common these days, and how common are they?
So that's an interesting question. All the evidence suggests that they are actually becoming less common. That may be because of a decrease in the smoking rate and somewhat other decrease in the other risk factors. It's been estimated about 20,000 Canadians each year get a diagnosis of abdominal aortic aneurysm, and approximately 1,200 people die each year from abdominal aortic aneurysm.
Now, you've said obviously something catastrophic can happen if they are left untreated or undiagnosed, so that's a rupture. So what is the mortality rate associated with rupture?
Mortality rate associated with rupture is quite high. It has been reported as high as 80% or even higher in the setting of the rupture.
So I guess one of the key issues is if you do find it, I would presume that it needs to be treated. So what treatment options are available and how successful are they?
The treatment options are really procedures which are done to put a graft inside this weakened areas, and that could be an open surgery or it could be somewhat of a less invasive procedure where the catheter is inserted through the groin and then the graft is put in the area of the aneurysm.
And how successful is that type of procedure?
The procedures are successful. These are major surgeries, so they do have mortality, morbidity associated with them. The non-invasive procedure has less short-term risks associated with that, although the long-term outcomes are pretty much similar whether the low invasive procedure is performed or the open surgery is performed.
Okay, now the task force actually published a guideline on screening for abdominal aortic aneurysm way back. It was actually, I think, in 1991. So what was the recommendation at that time, and why is there a need to update that recommendation at this time?
As you can imagine, that was years ago that guideline was published. There was not much evidence at that time. The randomized control trials, which have shown benefit of screening for abdominal aortic aneurysm, were published subsequent to that guideline. So the guideline at that point essentially said the evidence was insufficient to recommend for or against screening. And that evidence has changed with the publication of the randomized control trial.
So this is actually a good example of the task force sort of watching and monitoring as evidence changes and then obviously updating recommendations. So can you tell listeners a little bit about how the task force went ahead and developed these new recommendations?
The task force forms a working group. The working group, which includes members of the task force as well as scientific officers from the public health agency who help with the development of the guideline as well as collecting of the evidence. And then a systematic review is performed for pretty much all the task force guidelines by an independent review center. And based on that systemic evidence, then we form the guidelines. And this process was followed for this guideline also.
Now, this guideline is obviously focused on screening specifically. In the guideline, you've separated out the recommendations for men and the recommendations for women. So let's start with men first. So after reviewing the evidence, as you've outlined, what does the task force recommend in terms of screening for abdominal aortic aneurysm in men?
So our recommendation is among men who are aged between 65 and 80, screening for abdominal aortic aneurysm should be considered with one-time ultrasound or ultrasonography, and the risk and benefits should be discussed with them before proceeding with the screening. For the individuals over 80, we recommend in general they are not going to benefit from screening. However, the benefits of risk can be discussed with them, especially if the individuals are healthy and have other risk factors for having abdominal aortic aneurysm.
Now, the task force, when it grades recommendations, it talks about the quality of evidence. So for screening with ultrasound for men aged 65 to 80, there's moderate quality. And for men older than 80, it was low quality of evidence. But in both situations, the task force gave this a weak recommendation. Can you tell our listeners a little bit what you mean by a weak recommendation?
So weak recommendations, there are multiple factors which lead to weak recommendations. The predominant factor is when the balance is somewhat delicate. Overall, we feel the balance tilts towards there being a benefit of doing screening. However, the implication of the weak recommendation is this needs to be discussed with each particular individual. One of the biggest factors why the recommendation for 65 to 80 is weak is that, as we talked about a few minutes ago, the risk for abdominal aortic aneurysm has decreased somewhat over the years. So the absolute benefit of the screening is somewhat lower compared to, is likely lower than what used to be in the past when the randomized control trials were done. Overall, we think the benefit outweighs the harms, which we can talk about in a second, and we recommend the individuals between 65 to 80, most of them would benefit from screening. And similarly, for those over the 80, most individuals we believe will not benefit, but this can be discussed with the individual patients. One of the biggest sort of the harms for the screening is the risk of overdiagnosis. I mean, any screening procedure would lead to diagnosis of the conditions which may not have caused problems during the lifetime of the individuals. In other words, there's a high risk of the AAAs rupturing, but some AAAs which will be found for screening would not have ruptured if they had been left alone. And once they are found, there is not a good way of determining which ones are going to rupture or not rupture, and all of them need follow-up and or treatment.
So we will talk a little bit later in our conversation about involving patients in decision-making. So it certainly sounds that for men, it's very, very important, as it is with all patients, to have a really good discussion about the pros and cons of the screening. So let's move on to screening in women. What does the task force suggest for women?
We do not recommend screening among women for abdominal aortic aneurysm. The reason is the risk among women for abdominal aortic aneurysm is less than among men. Men have 4 to 6 or even higher risk of developing abdominal aortic aneurysm. Secondly, the studies which were done, they were essentially done among men, and there was only one study which was underpowered done among women. And thirdly, there is a risk of higher complications and mortalities after surgery among women after repair of abdominal aortic aneurysm. And overall, we think the benefit of screening women would be outweighed by the harms and the lack of benefit.
So that's quite a different recommendation. I think for this one, the task force gave it a strong recommendation. And can you, for our listeners, can you explain what a strong recommendation means?
So the strong recommendation refers that most individuals would benefit from following the recommendations, and that we are more confident of the balance between the benefits and harms. And in this case, we believe that most women should not have screening for abdominal aortic aneurysm.
When physicians, you know, look at these recommendations, and they will obviously have an actual patient in front of them, are there any additional considerations besides age that they should keep in mind when deciding whether or not to offer screening to a patient?
That is important. The other risk factors, one of the biggest considerations would be the presence of comorbidities. If the physicians believe that the individuals have high comorbidities or the risk of the potential any surgery being performed in the particular individual is going to be high, there's no benefit of really screening, because if they're not going to have the subsequent step, which is surgery, the benefit of documenting abdominal aortic aneurysm is going to be very limited. The other things to sort of consider is the history of family history of abdominal aortic aneurysm, and the other risk factors which we talked about, which increase the risk of having abdominal aortic aneurysm, include hypertension, high cholesterol levels, with the other factors.
Now, you've mentioned several times during our conversation about involving patients in decision-making, discussing the pros and cons of screening. So what is available to help physicians involve patients in this kind of decision-making?
So we have developed knowledge translation tools, which one of them is infographic that we have developed, which provides a brief summary of the benefits and harms to convey the patients, and be helpful in conveying the benefits and harms of the screening to individuals. We also have frequently asked questions, which also they will be distributed with this particular guideline, and also would be available on the task force website.
Excellent. Now, one of the things that I found that was quite interesting, obviously the task force has suggested ultrasonography being used to screen because it's relative ease of use and it's got good sensitivity and specificity. One thing I thought was interesting was that a Canadian observational study suggested that providing screening by family physicians actually doing the ultrasound, if properly trained, was quite accurate and feasible. So I just wondered what your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that is an important aspect, and obviously more work needs to be done in that area, but potentially there is some data suggesting that a handheld ultrasonography machine can be helpful in doing the screening, which would make it much more feasible for this screening to be done. And simple machines, less expensive machines, can be used for this purpose. And that would be something which would need to be looked into more.
Yeah, particularly since we're talking about screening quite a lot of people at this point. Now, just on another point, there may be researchers listening to this, to our conversation, and I know researchers are often looking for new areas of research. So are there particular gaps in knowledge that you, as a member of the task force working on this issue, would like to see additional research in?
So there are a couple of things which we believe need more evidence. Number one is we have recommended for one-time screening. What about a repeat screening? There's really very limited data on the benefits and harms of a repeated screening. What I'm referring to is the ultrasound repeated later on if it does not show abdominal aortic aneurysm on the first ultrasound. The second issue which needs more evidence is what is the benefit and harms in specific subgroups. An example being among smokers. We know the risks of having abdominal aortic aneurysm is higher, but the smokers are also more likely to have comorbidities. So how does the balance play out among them? We need more evidence.
Excellent. Now, those are good suggestions. Do you have any final thoughts on this topic, Dr. Singh?
I think it is important to consider, it is important to consider the screening for this condition. The abdominal aortic aneurysm has very high mortality, and the screening procedure is relatively easy and it's non-invasive. So this discussion with the individuals, particularly among the ages of 65 to 80, which we are recommending should happen, and the screening for this condition should be considered more often than it has been in the past.
Thank you so much, Dr. Singh, for meeting with me today to talk about this important topic.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Dr. Harminder Singh, Associate Professor of Medicine in the Departments of Internal Medicine and Community Health Sciences at the University of Manitoba. He is a member of the Canadian Task Force on Preventive Health Care. To read the full guideline he co-authored, visit cmaj.ca. If you've been listening to our CMAJ podcast, let us know how we're doing. Please leave us a rating on iTunes or give us your feedback on SoundCloud or on any of our social media channels.